Let us pray. Father God, as we look at this passage at the beginning of Genesis, we just ask you to open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds to hear what you have to say to each one of us. May we be challenged and encouraged as we look at your word together. Amen. If you've got a Bible to hand, it might be useful to have it in front of you as we look at this passage in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. As we've already kind of explored a little bit, work is an interesting word, isn't it? When we meet someone for the first time, we'll quite often ask them, "So what do you do for a living?" And if someone isn't in paid work, maybe they're at home running their household, volunteering in the community, looking after children or caring for elderly relatives, we often don't think of those roles as work. As we heard from Andrew, work doesn't stop when we retire. And the same goes for anyone who's not in paid work for any other reason. But we heard how Andrew is doing so much working for God in the new chapter of his life. I think that's a real encouragement, but also a challenge to us. And it highlights that whatever we're doing, we work for God. So if you're not in paid work, please don't switch off and think, "This isn't for me. I don't need to come to St. Pat's for the next few weeks because I don't work. It's not going to be relevant." We're hoping to show through this series how work is a gift from God and that we are saved to bear fruit for Jesus through the work that God has created us to do. We want to explore work in all its forms, paid and unpaid, inside and outside of the home, things that we wouldn't immediately think of as work, because work is all part of the created order and that Jesus cares about what we do and what we produce. We hope over the next few weeks to encourage each other to see beyond the worldly challenges and temptations of work and recognise them as opportunities for serving Jesus and building his church. And this morning we're looking at the gift of work, and starting right at the beginning of the Bible in the book of Genesis. We're going to look at God as a worker, that we as humans are made to work, how work is part of the created order, but was spoilt by the fall. So that should influence how we work. And finally, how work brings glory to God. So let's start by looking at God as a worker. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't really think of God as working. He's far too mighty and powerful to do that. But when I started reading the first two chapters of Genesis in preparing for this sermon, something struck me that I'd never noticed before. And that is that the Bible starts at the very beginning with God working. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth." Now, if you look at a thesaurus, a synonym for created is worked. So right at the start of the Bible, we find God working, and it's not paid work. The whole of chapter 1 of Genesis may be familiar to you, and it takes us through the creation story in 7 days. Each day, God worked at creating an element of the world. And once he'd done, he would take a step back and look at what he had created and enjoy his accomplishment. Apart from on the second day, we see the words, "And God saw that it was good," for each of the days of creation. As we turn to our passage, we see that we're in the middle of the sixth day of creation, where God is adding, if you like, the finishing touches to the world. And there in verse 31, we see that God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. God is showing us, through his participation in work, its inherent goodness. If God himself worked creating the heavens and the earth, then we should also work. Because as we'll see shortly, we are made in God's image. What I really love about this is that God didn't just get so absorbed in what he was doing, he didn't enjoy it. He took time to look at what he created and saw that it was good. He was doing a good thing. And that struck me as a real lesson for us. How often do we see work as a drudgery or a chore? We even call housework chores, don't we? But if we work as God shows us we should, then we can take joy even in the everyday things we have to do. And we should take time to take a step back and see what we have done as good and bringing God glory. Once God had finished creating the heavens and earth, he rested on the seventh day, a prompt for us to take a break. As if you were here last week, you would remember Sam talking to us as we were looking at Romans 12, that a way to keep our spiritual fervour is to take a Sabbath rest. But that's all it is, a rest. God didn't sit back and say, that's it, I finished, I never have to work again. We see throughout the Bible references to God and Jesus working. Psalm 121 reminds us in verse 3 that he who watches over you will not slumber. In the New Testament, in John chapter 5, we see Jesus healing on the Sabbath, and as a result, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. Verse 17 says, in his defense, Jesus said to them, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. These are just a couple of examples of so many in the Bible where we see God and Jesus working. So how are we called to work? In Genesis chapter 1, we see that as Christians, we are created in God's image, and as such, we too are called to work. Verses 26 to 28 says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So right at the beginning of the world, God created man to work, to rule over the animals and subdue the earth. Now that doesn't give us carte blanche to live how we want to, destroying the earth to meet our worldly wants and desires. We are created in God's image, which implies God's expectation that human beings will use the earth wisely and govern it with the same sense of responsibility and care that God has shown towards the whole of his creation. As we move into chapter 2, we see how we are not only formed in God's image, but God gives Adam work to do. Man was created to do work. If you look at verse 5, it says, now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. And then in verse 7, we see how God formed man from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And the first thing God does with the man is to give him a job of caring for his world. In verse 15, it says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. So here we are, right at the start of creation. The first task given to man was to rule over the animals, subdue the earth, and work and cultivate the garden. God would provide everything man needed, but it wouldn't be pre-prepared food. God planted a variety of trees in the garden that not only were pretty to look at, but would provide food. But Adam was going to have to work for it. Work is a fundamental part of who God is and who we are as Christians. It's something we're designed to do. And through our work, we bring God glory. Imagine God looking on our day's work and thinking, it was good. Working in a way that brings God glory is something we're called to do because we are made in God's image and after his likeness. So that means we are divinely designed to work. Whatever we do as work, if we approach it in the same way God does, we should be able to look back at the end of the day and say, it was good. I suspect for some of us, some days that's easier to do than others. However, we know that work has changed from this ideal. It all went wrong with the fall when Adam and Eve were thrown out of the Garden of Eden for eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and suddenly work got a whole lot harder. We read of God's response to Adam and Eve's disobedience and sin in Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. As they are banished from the garden, God says, "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food." Life was suddenly going to get more difficult and work much harder. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't work or that it no longer brings God glory. If work is part of the created order, but spoilt by the fall, then how should we work? If it's no longer the easy, joyful work Adam appears to have had in the Garden of Eden, it can be a hard slog. I don't know about you, but housework and ironing are not my favourite jobs. So how do we work in a way that brings God glory when things aren't easy? The Bible is very helpful in helping us understand what our approach to work should be. I do like the book of Ecclesiastes. On first reading, it appears to be just full of woe and moaning about everything being a waste of time and meaningless. But there are some real hidden gems of instruction and great reminders that things are meaningless without God. In chapter 3, there's a verse that helps us to understand how we should approach work. Verse 22 says, "So I saw that there is nothing better for a person than to enjoy their work, because that is their lot. For who can bring them to see what will happen after them?" What the author is saying here is that work as an end in itself is meaningless. Only receiving it as a gift from God gives it enduring worth. So whatever we are doing, if it has worth, if we receive it and see it as a gift from God. And this is underlined if we look at Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24, which say, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." So how do you view work? If you were to put it on a scale of somewhere between absolute drudgery and the highest ideal to which we can aspire, where would you place it? For some, work is drudgery, whether it's paid work or housework. I remember the story of somebody telling me that of someone who worked in a chocolate factory. And their job was to place the chocolate Brazil in the relevant hole in the chocolate box. And the only way they could get through a shift was every hour on the hour to stand up, scream, sit down and carry on putting in their chocolate Brazils. Now, I don't know if that's an urban myth, but it kind of sums up the monotony of some jobs. For others, they see workers getting more money to be able to live a life of luxury, to raise their status among friends and acquaintances. I had a housemate who was training to be an actuary, which is 7 years of exams, and he hated it, not just the exams, but the job itself. And when I asked him why on earth he was putting himself through all of these pain of exams for so long, when he clearly hated the job that he was going to have for the next 30 or 40 years, he said, "Because when I qualify, I'll have a huge salary and I can do all sorts of things." And I just felt sorry for him, because I can't imagine doing a job that I hate just because it gives me money. For others, work is a way to use and develop skills, to do something meaningful in life, to help others and serve humanity. Think about the work you do. Do any of those examples resonate with you? I think we all experience some of those feelings at different times in our lives. But the challenge for us all is that in that verse in Colossians, for us to work as working for the Lord and not for our human masters. But what does that mean? If we're employed in paid work, we have rules to follow, deadlines to meet. We can't just ignore those, can we? Well, no, of course not. But if we think back to verse 26 in chapter 1 of Genesis, we are made in God's image. Now, that doesn't mean we all physically look like him, otherwise we'd all look the same. But it means we're made to live like him, to have the same characteristics and qualities as him. And that should drive our approach and attitude to life, never mind just work. So for me, the obvious things are honesty and integrity when it comes to work. If we say we're going to do something, we do it. Our behaviour in the workplace is another way we can show we're working for God. The way we speak and treat our colleagues, our language, not getting caught up in office gossip, always being on time, supporting colleagues when they're in need. They show people that we are different. Many years ago, before I was very open about my faith in the workplace, a colleague said to me, so what are you, one of those born-again Christians? Now, he was somebody who liked to tease people, not horribly, but he did like to tease. So I had a split second to make a decision. Do I admit that, yes, I'm a Christian, and risk being teased for the rest of my working life with him? Or do I say no and, in effect, deny my faith? So I hedged my bets and said, what makes you think that? And he said, I don't know, there's just something different about you, and I wondered if that's what it is. I think that's the greatest compliment anyone has ever paid me. It's only ever happened the once, but it stayed with me and reminded me that how we are, if we work as we're working for God, serving the Lord, then actually people may see that we're different. But it's more than that. I know my faith does influence my thinking and approach to not just how I work. In my job as a civil servant, there have been times when I know the work I've done has made a real difference to people in hardship. I know the recommendations that I have made have been influenced by my faith. And those are times when I rejoice for working where I am, that God has put me there. And I make sure that I don't just celebrate the success with the team, but that I give thanks to God for giving me the skills to do what I do and for working where I am. And that applies to us not just if we're in paid work, but to anything we're doing, whether it's volunteering, running a home, or caring. The challenge is for us to do those things as if we are serving God and with the same attitude to work that he has, so that at the end of the day we can look back and say it was good because it glorified God. So in summary, as we start this series looking at work, we need to remember that God made us to work and that he wants us to work. Ephesians 2 verses 8 to 10 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." We have been created by God to do good works. So whatever we do, whether we feel it's drudgery or of incredible value, whether paid or unpaid, we need to remember we have been created by God to do it. And that gives our work value because we are doing it for him, to bring him glory. I'll leave you with a final little example. We were having a chat at a home group and one person said how they love being in church on their own when they're doing the cleaning. They get a chance to sing praises to God, to pray, and even dance. And no one else sees that act of service. I just thought that's a wonderful example of working in a way to glorify and serve God. Let us pray. Father God, you have shown us by your own example what it is to work. We are created in your image. Help us to remember that whatever we are doing it, we do it with that in mind. Help us to see work as a gift from you, as a way to serve you and bring you glory. so that whatever we do, when we take a step back, we can see that it was good because we did it for you. Amen.